We try to tell you who we are, a little bit history of the church, how we operate, how we're governed, how we're structured, how we do finances, and then we talk about you. We spend a couple weeks focused on you, your giftings, your talents, and all that good stuff. And so it's fun to go through. You don't have to become a member after you go through it. It's just to let you know more about the church and give you an opportunity, if you'd like, to join. But again, you don't have to. You don't have to be a member of Pastor Zach to be at our business meeting next Sunday night. Business meetings are usually, like you said, drawn out, just blah, blah, blah. Ours is awesome. I'd encourage you to come to it. And seriously, we're an open book. We give booklets of our last year finances. You're welcome to those. You're welcome to sit and listen to what we got going on. We just kind of go through our finances, talk about different departments, and we have a couple votes on board members, and that's what our business meeting looks like. And so that's a pretty quick, short, painless. It's a lot of fun. If you're new to Brighton, what we do is we pray and we fast about a book of the Bible the Lord wants us to go through. Then we get the book and we start going through it. And right now we're kind of the tail end of Exodus, and we've been going through Exodus. And last week we started chapter 34. We're going to finish chapter 34 today. But last week I talked about how, you know, you go some places and you leave that place and you kind of carry that place with you, right? And I mentioned I enjoy Indian food. Now, that's not I'm just a lover of all food. You know, but Indian food is one of those ones I really enjoy. But it's one of those ones you go and you eat, and if you ever enjoyed Indian food, you eat and you leave, and it sticks with you the rest of the day. Like, you walk by people like, "What is that?" I'm like, "What is it? It's Indian food." They're like, "Okay, I get it now." Like, it's just no matter, you can't get away from it. And it's funny because I used that illustration last week, and this week we were blessed with some tickets to a Thunders game, Oklahoma City Thunders game. So me and Pastor Zach, Pastor Clayton, Pastor Mike, we all go down there on Thursday afternoon. We come back that night. So it was a quick trip. But on the way there, we find out there's an Indian restaurant in a gas station. And that shows you my level of love for Indian food. I'm going to try it. I'm like, "Hey, let's give it a shot." You know, what can go wrong? Four dudes in a pickup truck, 4 hours on an Indian food gas station. So what could go wrong with that? So we do it, and it's funny, I walk in, I'm not thinking about it, I'm ordering, I turn around, I look, and there's Pastor Zach in this Bass Pro, like, Arctic coat, zipped up to his neck. He's walking in like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I don't want to smell like it the rest of the day." I'm like, "Exactly, you understand." He understood that it just kind of goes with you, and if you think about it, you understand this principle. It's easier than we might think for people to know where we've been, right? It's easier than we think for people to know where we've been. Like, you go out to the cow pasture, you work the cows for a little bit, you come in, guess what? Everybody knows where you've been, okay? If you go out and, you know, "I'm gonna go work in the yard," you spend all day outside, you walk in, guess what? Everybody knows you've been outside because you smell like outside. Some of you are like, "Oh, I love that smell." Listen, it's not that great, okay? So just know that. You know, they know where you've been. Your kids. Kids go outside. You see little mud tracks in the house. You know where they've been, right? And they're like, "No, I was not outside." Like, kind of evidence, right? You know this to be true. Like, police officers. They pull somebody over not far from a club. They pull over like, "Where you been?" "Oh, I've been at home, officer." "Really? So why are you driving like this?" You know, they know where you've been, right? And so it's easier than we think for people to know where we've been. It's easier to identify where you've been. It's easier for people, we might think, for people to know where we've been. And that includes whether or not we've been in the presence of God. It's easy for people. Here's a lesson we're going to learn today. A lesson behind all of what we're talking about today is we become what we behold. Okay, I want you to let that sink in. We become what we behold. And whether you spend your time looking or meditating or whatever you do, that's what you'll become. What are you staring at then? What have you been with? Who have you been with? What's left a mark on you? When you walk in the room, what do you radiate? "I've been outside. I've been working out because you stink. I've been eating Indian food. or maybe you're a Mexican food person, maybe, you know, and what do you radiate when you walk in the room, right? And we can be fairly certain that our faces won't shine like Moses did, or maybe you've had a too long in a tanning booth, so it might, but more than likely, your face is not going to radiate like Moses, right? But even more powerful than that, the Spirit is at work in some of your lives. And people can see more than we know, and they can relate to that. They can distinguish when we've been in the presence of God and when we haven't. And so we become what we behold. And we see that from the story of Moses. So look at it with me in Exodus 34. I want to read you just the last portion there we're on. So we'll be in 29. And so it says, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets to testify of the testimony in his hands, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation turned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. So that's where we're at. And so the story is after the first time, okay? This is the second time he's gone up to get the tablets. Remember, this time he had to take a stone, two stone tablets up with him, and God was writing out the commands and covenant with him. And so at this point, he'd been on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And miraculously, the Lord sustained him because he was there without food or with water. And he was writing down the two tablets, right? When he comes down, we know that his face was just a glow. It was shiny. He didn't know this, okay? There was no physical sensation. He said, oh, I'm a little flushed. I'm a little warm. You know, my future's so bright. I've got to wear shades. None of that, okay? He didn't realize any of that. There was just something about him that others could see that he couldn't see himself. So what happens? It kind of freaks everybody out. So Moses puts a veil on it, and Moses had been with God, and it showed, okay? Here's the deal, the caveat to that. When you've really been with the Lord, when you've been studying, when you've been meditating with the Lord, when you've been hearing from him with the scriptures and praying, guess what? It shows. Like, we know. Like, you walk in the room and you've been in the Word, you've been meditating the Lord, you've been beholding the Lord, you've been praying, you've been reading the scriptures. It shows. Even if you can't tell, I can guarantee you, it shows. You radiate something different about yourself when you've been with the Lord. And listen, this was an important step in the life of Moses and the people of God, if you think about it. Because when Moses left the first time, what happened? Chaos ensued, right? He left the first time, everybody's like, oh my gosh, he left us, he deserted us. Is he even still alive? I think he's dead. We don't know what happened to this guy. And out comes a golden calf, because this guy Moses disappeared, right? And so they weren't sure if they could trust him. They really didn't know. I mean, sure, he led us out of Egypt, but where is he now? And so this glowing face of his would help reestablish and reconfirm he's the Lord's man, right? It's basically God's way of authenticating Moses to the people. He's like, okay, this is the man of God. This is the one we should trust to lead us. It was like God's seal of approval of Moses. But even more importantly than this glowing face of his was the fact that God's presence had returned. This is a big deal, because if you understand what happened before, God said, I'm not going with you. After Moses smashed the tablets, all that, Moses was like, nope, I'm done. I mean, God's like, I'm done. I'm not going with you. I'm going to send an angel to go before you, but you're too stiff-necked, and these people are too stubborn. And if I go with you, I'm going to wipe you out. And so think, get that picture in your head. Okay, so God's not going to go with them. But now here comes Moses. His face is shining. His face is radiated. It was like God saying, okay, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to lead you. Moses even cried out, isn't it? I'm not going to go if you don't go. And so again, this is irrefutable evidence. The presence of God has not left him. That's a big deal, okay? And it may be obscure for the Israelites, but at least they know God was with Moses, okay? And it was easy to tell. Here's my question for you this morning. Where have you been? Where have you been? Because it's easier than we might think for people to tell where we've been. Do you show any signs you've been often in the presence of God? You know, I was thinking about this message this week, and I felt convicted. And you probably need to as well. I mean, how many of us radiate something of having been with the Lord? What would that even look like? Like, well, I don't think my face is going to shine. No, it'd be cool if it did. But what would it look like? That means we walk in the room, we walk in our job, we walk into a situation, we're probably more patient than normal. We probably will show grace when we've been wronged. We'll probably show mercy. We'll probably show love when they didn't expect it. This is how we radiate the Lord, that we've been in his presence. When we don't act like everybody else, we don't talk like everybody else, we use different words than everybody else. That's when they know we've been in the presence of the Lord. Think about it. Here's what something that should just blow your mind. We're able to see more glory than Moses saw. Think about that. Like, it hurts my head to think about that. We're able to see more glory than Moses saw. Moses saw some pretty cool stuff. But Scripture this morning is going to tell you we're going to see more than that. But we're tempted to think, okay, I want to be with the Lord, but how are people going to tell? Because I'm not going to have this mysterious glow. Well, here's a cool thing that the New Testament teaches us, that Jesus has more glory than Moses. And it's going to give us a great parallel example of Moses and Jesus. Think about it. You and I are more in a more privileged position that even Moses was. We know this because Paul teaches this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is like a beautiful mirror picture of what we're talking about this morning. And Paul like expands on it and shows us like, okay, this is Moses, but this is Jesus. Okay, and look at it with me. It starts in verse 7. Actually, the whole chapter, I want to start in verse 7 because Paul draws these if-then comparisons. If you're familiar with the computer world, programming world, they operate a lot in if-then. Like, if this happens, then this happens, right? And that's how sequences are made. That's how we know the language and stuff. Well, Paul used that language here. Starting in verse 7. Now if, here's your first one. Now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at the face of Moses because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of spirit have even more glory? Okay, I want to read that one more time so you get your mind wrapped around this, okay? Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters of stone, he's referencing what we would call the law, because that's what's on these stones, right? It's the law, okay? So that's what he's talking about, the law. Okay, if that came with such glory, the Israelites could not gaze, they couldn't look on Moses' face, right? And then it continues, says, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of spirit have even more glory? He's talking about Jesus right here, okay? And that's the first if then that Paul uses. So if this ministry, which was stone, came with glory, how much more will a ministry that comes with the power of the Holy Spirit come with glory? That's what he's talking about. He goes, okay, this was cool, and Moses' face shone because he saw the glory of God, but that was stone. That was the law. How much more glory will Jesus bring? How much more glory will be in the presence of Jesus bring to your life than that this which was stone? Are you getting this morning? He's saying we've got a greater opportunity in our lives to show the glory than even Moses did, okay? Here's a second one. Look at verse 9. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, again, he's talking about the law, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Okay, the Ten Commandments were holy. They were righteous. but they didn't have the power to save anybody. Okay, they were God's rules for living in a covenant relationship with Him. They had no power to justify a man or a woman. In fact, as you get closer to them, the law, the Ten Commandments, you begin to see really how far away you are, right? And that's what Paul means when he says they're a ministry of condemnation, because all of us probably have experienced the law in this way, is like Paul. Like I think every one of us can relate to Paul when Paul says, the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do is the thing I keep on doing. Right? And that's what he's saying about the law. The law, the closer we get to the law, like there's not an easy commandment. You look at a 10, you're like, okay, which was the easiest one, you know? There's not one. They all show how flawed we are. Even one, you're like, well, you know, I don't get angry. Okay, I can take that one. You go to any retail establishment, you're not going to handle that one. And so this is what Paul's saying. He's like, listen, the ministry of condemnation showed them how much they didn't obey God. Right? But if that came with glory, so Moses' face shone, Paul says, how much more will the ministry that brings righteousness shine with glory? Are you getting the picture? Like, that was cool. What Moses did, that was cool. I've always wanted to see that. I'm like, when I get to heaven, that's one of the pictures I want him to show me. How Moses' face was like shining. He's like, guess what? We have more than that available to us, but we don't take advantage of it. Here's the third if then in that statement we found in verse 3, verse 11, 2 Colossians chapter 3. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. What are you saying? He's saying Moses' face would fade. Moses is going to die. And this wouldn't be a lasting symbol for all humanity. It would come to an end. But this new covenant that Jesus brings, this new covenant, this life in the Spirit, this resurrected Christ has no end and will be forever. And the covenant of Moses, it was good. And it came with glory, but this new covenant will far surpass the covenant of the old. So we got more glory. So Paul argues that the glory of the gospel comes with more promise, more power, and more permanence. We're in a more privileged position than Moses was. Again, that should blow you away right there. Some of you are looking like a cow staring at a new gate right now. That should blow you away if you understand what that means. What that means is what John's referring to in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's not just stone tablets. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Moses spoke to God in a cloud. And when he came down, his face needed to be veiled because he'd seen so much glory. Listen, those of us who know the Christ, the risen Christ, we have an opportunity to see more glory than that. And that's the point of the rest of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is to look to Christ and be changed. How do I grow as a Christian? Look to Christ. How do I get rid of this sin in my life? Look to Christ. How do I change? Look to Christ. How am I sanctified? Look to Christ. Look at it with me in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Since we have such hope, we are very bold. Come on, we need that. We need to be very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Verse 14. But their minds were hardened. So talking about the Israelites, they saw Moses and they saw what's happening and their minds were hardened, right? For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses read, a veil lies on their heart. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, behold the glory of the Lord. are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another for this counselor, Lord, who is the Spirit. You see our lesson right there in verse 18. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. We become what we behold. You see that? I want to see these amazing connections. This is how good God is. God gives us a picture in the Old Testament. He says, isn't that cool? Then he gives us a picture in the New Testament. He goes, but this is better. Look at it. Okay, look at how he does. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus goes up on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Okay, Moses went up on Mount Sinai. Jesus goes up Mount Transfiguration with a few of his disciples, Matthew chapter 17. One of those initial journeys back in Exodus from the mountain, Moses waited there 6 days before the Lord called him up. Some of you might recall in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus went up to the mountain after 6 days. I mean, this is pretty cool. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, it says Jesus' face, look at it, shone like the sun. Who else's face shone? Moses. Okay, you getting the picture the Lord's laying out for you? And then look at verse 5. God spoke to them from where? A cloud. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, do you see what's happening here? God would speak to the disciples one day from a cloud. This is my beloved son. He'd authenticate Jesus. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good guy. He's the king, the new Moses, after whom we never need another. And unlike Moses, who had to hide his face, Jesus would be lifted up so sinners could gaze upon his face and be saved. Isn't it amazing how God leads us? He's like, isn't this cool? Moses' face shined. He got to see the cloud. That's pretty cool. Oh, but I got something better. I got Jesus. He's going to be the better Moses. And that's what he's trying to tell us this morning. Yeah, that was cool. Moses saw the glory of God. That's pretty cool. But we have an opportunity for the glory of God to be living inside of us. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is available to you and I this morning. Oh, come on. You guys need some espresso shots. I need some help this morning. I kind of feel like I'm talking to a brick wall here or something, but this is good stuff. I mean, I'm convinced if we want more evangelism, we want more prayer, we want more fruitfulness, we want more holiness, we're not going to get there unless we start spending more time with Jesus. We become what we behold. You got lots of problems. I understand that. Some of you come here with great burdens, hurts, and pains. Listen, the main difficulty is that we do not gaze enough upon the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. Think about it. If you want to be more merciful, look to Jesus, who on the cross cried out, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you want to be more loving, look to Jesus, who ate with sinners, welcomed repentant prostitutes and tax collectors into the kingdom of God. You want to be stronger in the midst of suffering, look to Jesus, who didn't repay evil with evil, but submitted to the will of the Father wholeheartedly. I mean, he's our example. That's why we gaze upon him. If you want to grow in grace, look to Jesus, who reinstated Peter after denying him 3 times. That's grace. There's no area in your life where you're seeking change in which you're not going to be helped by looking to the Lord. And over time, you'll be able to tell whether someone has truly been with the Lord or they haven't. Listen, there's so much of our lives are trivial. I'm not saying they're not important, but some of us, we're experts on a lot of things, right? I'm sure some of you could tell me the starting defensive line for the Chiefs back in 2020. I mean, that's awesome. Some of you are Netflix experts. Like, you can binge a whole series in one day, nothing, no problems, right? Some of you are social media experts. You know what's trending. You know what's viral. You know what's funny. Some of you are experts in particular fields, maybe research. Sometimes we're experts in political controversy. But where are the experts in God? If you truly spend the time with the Lord, some people might find it uncomfortable. When Moses came down, they were uncomfortable. they didn't know what to do with Moses. Some people are going to react that. When you start spending time with the Lord, when you start changing the way you talk, when you start changing the way you react to people, they're going to be a little uncomfortable. They're going to ask you questions like, why are you smiling all the time? That's awesome. I think we need more of that. But why aren't you joining in talking about your husband, talking about your wife, like we all do? Well, I actually love my wife. I love my husband. Come on, we don't talk like everybody else. We don't act like everybody else. We don't look like everybody else. Hello? Like, well, you're getting old. I am getting old. But that's what the Bible says. We're supposed to stand apart. And we do that when we behold him. We behold him. We become like him. The worship team to come on up so we can start wrapping this up. So they were a little unraveled with the way Moses looked. You notice they didn't say, hey, Moses, come down, your face is shining, you've been with the Lord, hang out with me. They didn't say that. They didn't like it. They didn't know what to do with it. Again, they might not know what to do with you. And I'm not talking about being weird for weird's sake. Some of you guys have that down. I'm not talking about that. But you'll be distinct. And you might not, here's a crazy thing, you might not see that in yourself. Some of you think, well, I'm not glowing, Pastor. That's okay. Because you don't have to glow, but other people will know where you've been. Moses came down from the mountain. He didn't know his face was shining. You may not know you've been transformed over the last several years. But be encouraged that in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we are transformed from what? One degree to another. We would like to go from zero to 180, right? I mean, that'd be awesome. But the scripture's telling us it goes one degree to one degree. One degree to one degree. It doesn't happen overnight. What scripture is telling me is that one degree, then another degree. So what that means is this week, I want to be a little more like Christ. So today, I'm going to behold him more than I behold anything else in my life. So guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I'm going to read the scriptures. So guess what? I just moved a degree. Tuesday, you're going to wake up and say, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you today in prayer. Guess what? I just moved another degree. That's how we behold him. Some of you have this picture, this idea of, well, I got to be at church, I got to be at the altar, I got my spot, I always go to my spot, and that's why I behold him. Listen, I called a friend this week. He was out haying. He picked up the phone and a Bluetooth in his tractor. If you can Bluetooth in your tractor, you can spend time with the Lord in your tractor. See? Anywhere you go, you can be with the Lord. So you got this idea, well, I got to be in my prayer closet. I got to be here. You can be in a tractor haying and spend the time with the Lord. That means what I'm going to commit to today, and I'm going to commit to beholding him more than anything else in my life. And then we become like him, a little more like Christ this week. A little bit more of the Spirit this month. A little bit more of Jesus this year. And you might not see it just like Moses didn't see his own face, but when you come, others are going to start to realize there's something different. We need to spend more time with God in prayer, in his word, in worship, in silence, together. And alone. Why? But people can tell where you've been. You may think of all the things that we watch are hidden from view. People don't know what's in our web browser. That's not true. Because over time, we become what we behold. It shapes how you relate to people. It shapes how you think about people. It changes the way you think about yourself and God. People can tell where you've been, whether you spend all your time on ESPN or HGTV or your phone. People can tell. Would you stand with us this morning? Can I just tell you this morning, we need people who are with God. We need people who spend time with God. We need people who have behold God. You and I may know a lot of smart, impressive, gifted, accomplished people. But how many God-stained people do you know in your life? I want to be one of those. The question is, do you want to be one of those? This is where we start. And if we're honest, some of you don't even want to start. You'd rather just be experts in something else. But if you want to shine like Moses, with even more glory, with the veil lifted, it won't come apart with time with the Lord. So here's my challenge for you this morning. And I'd say we pick up the challenge, I want to shine more glory than Moses. I mean, Moses was awesome. What he did was awesome. But we have more available to us than that. So why settle for just that? Why don't you have more? I mean, isn't that what they sell you with? You go to get a phone there. Oh, you can have that one. But you can have this. What do we always go for? We go for this because it has more features, right? You're like, oh, well, that one's got something I don't think I ever use, but I want it because it has that. And they just upselled you, right? So why stick with Moses? Moses is essentially the flip phone when we have the Apple iPhone available to us. Just ticked all the Android guys off, but we know Apple's better, so let's just concede that point. So you have the flip phone, or you can have a modern phone. Why are you going to stick with the flip phone? We have more glory available to us. We turn to the Lord, our veil's removed. We have an opportunity to see more than Moses saw. Shine more than Moses shone. Listen, I want to read you 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered. You see that? You show that you're a letter from Christ delivered to us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human hearts. You show your letter from Christ to everybody you come in contact with. So it's our responsibility to show that. Again, where have you been? Where have you been? When you walk in the room, does everybody just think, man, he smells like outside? Or you walk in the room and you smell like bacon. That's not a bad thing. They're like, oh man. When you walk in the room, what do people realize? A conversation. People step back by the way you respond. Or do you respond like everybody else? People spewing hate. You're a letter from Christ. Say this morning. So I want to challenge. This is my challenge for this morning. And please don't take this serious. Don't just say, yeah, I do it, Pastor. Here's a challenge. Challenge is to outshine Moses. So then it boils down to, what do you behold the most in your life? Do you behold social media the most? Do you behold your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you behold this relationship more than Christ? You behold your family? Do you behold your job? Do you behold your hobbies? meaning, do you spend more time on those? Or do you, Jesus is my Sunday. Don't bother the rest of the week. You're not going to outshine Moses that way. You're not going to be the letter that Christ wants you to be that way. So this is going to take work. But this is how we outshine Moses. This is how we impact 11,578 unreached people around 20-mile radius of Brighton, Missouri. It's committing to become like Jesus. So we're going to behold him more than anything else in our life. Would you commit to that today? Can you commit to that today? Won't you bow your heads with us? Dearly Father, Lord, I pray. Pray that we earnestly in our heart, Lord God, if we want this, Lord God, we commit to it today. Lord, I'm gonna behold you more than anything else in my life. Lord, my goal in life is to outshine Moses. And so, Lord, that's gonna start by being in your presence more than just Sunday. It's gonna start by reading your word more than just what's on the screen on a Sunday. It's going to start by having a conversation with you, maybe in the car, maybe in the tractor, maybe on the tree stand, wherever I'm at. I'm going to learn to just have a conversation with you. Lord, I'm going to learn to love your word, not view it as a have to. But I'm going to learn to, every time I open up your word, I'm going to learn to love to enjoy it. I'm going to learn to spend time in your presence. Where these things, they no longer are a burden, but they're a joy in our life we look to. Because you called each one of us. We're your letters to tell of your love to all those around us. Let us be that. So this morning, I want to have the worship team, they're going to lead us in a song. As they're singing, I pray you take a moment to spend with Jesus. Make a commitment. You can be in your seat and come down front. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, whatever you're comfortable with. Before you leave, make a commitment with the Lord. Lord, I want to behold you more than anything in my life. I want to outshine Moses.